The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is January 28th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Tomorrow we got a big show. We got Mike Bruce on at noon, and we have Dr. Wong at 3:45, and this show is probably going to get posted tonight or tomorrow morning, so it'll be very relevant once I bring in our guest today. Sorenex.com. 803-978-2253, extension 111. Richard will be on next month, and that'll be good to have him back. Jason Fulner, planyourworkouts.com, or you can go to Amazon Prime, and for $5 and no shipping. Basically, this is a logbook. I've got one here he sent me. It's fantastic. I mean, he's a Marine. It's really detailed, ordered. You can do all your workouts in it. And on a 24th workout, there's a section in there to track your progress and set new goals. And this gentleman listens to our show in a shed. That's where he trains. That's what I love about everybody on this show. It's awesome. Unleash your strength through relentless metabolic endurance through 100% wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's our good friend Steven Santangelo, who's on here every month too. You can contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook at STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Tell him we sent you. Hearts Collision, this is for New York State residents only. 518-477-7937. Anybody that's familiar with this knows that I am training Alex, their son, and he's doing fabulous. So give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Also, too, we got our good friend John Wood of U.S. Wellness Meats. Go out to www.grasslandbeef.com. You know, John's been doing stuff in this field for a long time. He raises cattle. And anybody that knows the benefits of the CLA and omega-3s with free-range meat, I would definitely tell you to search this guy out and go out on his website. He is a wealth of knowledge. We've had John on here. We're trying to set John to come back up, but he's just built a new facility. He's all over the place, so we are going to get him here. But remember, this is grass-fed from start to finish, okay? So he raises everything with the principles of holistic land management and sustainability. And John also offers you this: grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. So go out to grasslandbeef.com and tell John we sent you. In case you didn't hear Ryan Pitt's interview with me on Tuesday, you're going to have to go out and listen to it because we got a big, big thing for everybody out here. Stronger Grip has been making handcrafted strength gear for 10 years. They make high-quality strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and they've had their trophies when they've made that were seen on ESPN. Grip gear has been featured in Men's Health magazine, and he's made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and obviously thousands of us out there that love to train for strength and grip, et cetera, et cetera. So go out to StrongerGrip.com. Now, quickly, I'm going to tell everybody about the contest we're running. If you want to win a sledgehammer like the one Ryan made me, and it's out all over Facebook, and I'm going to try to get it up on the blog again today. This thing is 25 pounds empty. You can load the handle and the big head, and it comes out to 83 pounds with shot. This thing is so balanced. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I love it. Well, we decided that we're going to give one away. It'll be probably at the end of March of this year. The contest starts February 1st and goes through March 17th, which is St. Paddy's Day. All you have to do is send in a video of your big lift. That's whatever you love to do, send in. And this is the way we're going to get to look at them. On the subject line, when you upload it to YouTube, put FBC and stronger grip on the line with a dash and what the lift is. And if you want to go into detail, obviously, the box below, you can do that. Do it that way so when we go out and type in FBC, you're going to come up. That hand, I believe that sledgehammer goes for about $350, and it is absolutely beautiful. I'm sure Ryan will put in whatever you want in the head and boss it in like you do with FBC. And here's the big thing. Whether you're on this show or not, you're going to have a shot to come on with me on Motivation and Muscle. We'll talk all about it. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. And who knows, maybe you'll become a regular guest. So go out and do that, and I wish everybody the best of luck. Also, Fiorello Barbell Co., Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Free ebook. Go out, commit, take action. Away we go. Also, two our two biggest products today to Strength Times Power is equals success. The Winner's Circle, Strength Times Power, is all recorded in HD. I narrate every movement. Dennis, who lost 43 pounds using this program, which you can use for anything, does every exercise we've ever done. And there's a few bonus things with household stuff that you can use if you don't have access to a gym. The Winner's Circle is all audio, 12 audios of me speaking from the beginning when I started to where we are. There's power rack work in there. There's, you name it, iron boots, the way to really lift the barbell and curl it. And it's not just doing standard curls, sandbags, you name it. The philosophy we have here is all over that thing. So if you like what we do here, I'm on my own there, and that's what we do. And the last thing, obviously, is sponsorship, because this is a big nut every month to keep this show rolling. Right now, till the end of the month, you can get on board with us for $100. That's 5 to 15 shows a week. $30 of that, like we said, always goes to muscular dystrophy right now because of flu shots for the kids. My brother got a common cold and died of pneumonia. My mother was telling me the other night when I was talking to her about it, my brother Jimmy had Duchenne's. That is the worst, if there was ever a worst, of getting of being born with muscular dystrophy. Their life expectancy was much shorter than Jimmy's, and it was the family. My mother and father were incredible with Jimmy. That's what really kept him going. But we lost him. And the bottom line is, if we can save these kids, man, it's so important. They're the nicest, strongest, always a smile on their face. So come on board with us. And remember, we're going to be around for a long time. We want to partner up with you. And, you know, we're going to be millions strong, I promise you. Like I always say, we don't follow the path. We clear-cut it. Fiorello Barbell Co. or MotivationMuscle.com. Fill out the form. Come join our family. I promise you, you're going to have the best 25 years of your life when you're associated with us. Well, today, we have a good old friend, fellow lifter, you name it. He's back with us. A lot of the guys are coming back. That have left for a little while, and we couldn't be happier. Not only am I very happy about it, but our listeners are going to be, most of them know, but when I post this podcast, they're going to be ecstatic. We got Bud Jeffries back with us, and I want to give you a little bit about Bud before I bring him in. Bud is obviously a strength coach. We know he's stronger than dirt, as I say, which is quite a compliment from me, believe me. He's an author. He's definitely a motivational speaker. He's a minister. Obviously, he owns multiple businesses, too, and he performs, too. So, Bud, I'm sure you can add to that, but welcome to Motivation and Muscle. Glad to have you back, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Eric. Glad you guys are doing so good, and glad I finally got some time back in the schedule to be back on and hang out and do some stuff with you guys.
Well, we're really glad to have you. Anything you want to add to that, be my guest, sir.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I imagine everybody listening to your show already knows me, man. But
yep.
You know what? I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to have the greatest breadth of – the greatest width, if you want to say, of strength and athleticism possible. Yep. In a body. You know, that's where we're going. And not just – you know, most people who talk about athleticism don't really talk about strength. Well, I want to talk about strength from a world-class perspective as well as athleticism that shocks people. You know, and mm-hmm. I want that combined package. And, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on, man. We got, three new products about to come out. And we got one that's going to be – actually, we'll talk about some of this today, which is going to be on isometrics, an isometric supersetting, which is kind of a unique concept. Okay. And then I got a brand new one with Fitness University, which has featured me and seven other authors.
Nice.
As they, what they did is they this is a huge compliment to me, man. They went and picked out the guys who they thought were the expert in the field.
Yep.
Of that particular thing, and they got me to come on, and they did a whole DVD on unconventional training.
Nice.
And
very nice.
Got other, you know, monster guys. Dan John did a DVD with them, and
nice.
Matt Kroc, and let's see, Tim Henriquez. Shoot, man, there's six or seven other dudes. I can't remember everybody's name, but they got a bunch. They got a bunch of monster. You know, literally of the seven or eight guys in this DVD series, five of them are world record holders.
Nice.
So yeah,
nice.
Went out and got the really biggest, baddest, strongest guys, and then also I got a brand new one. This, which is kind of a departure for me, but it's the direction I really want to go in. Is I got to do a new DVD set coming out with Peter Ragnar.
Yeah.
Next little while. Yeah, where we're going to talk about a limitless life, a life that and it's really about everybody who's bought stuff from me before, with the exception of the little bit, the really motivational stuff I put out, has come to me for heavy lifting. But I don't want to be just that guy. You know what I'm
saying? I got you. Yeah.
And I think you think the same thing, that lifting or physical training is probably one of the greatest mental and spiritual building things you can do. Mm-hmm. As a human being. In fact, I think it's a shortcut to really building mental power, because there's nothing that tests your mind like testing your body. But
hey, all right, Bud, I wanted just to interrupt because you interjected a big thing there, and I've been slamming on this forever, all right? Mm-hmm. We know there's a lot of material out there with books. You know, I'm not going to name people, but there are – well, I will, because some of them are on the show. We know Logan's got one out there. We know Mike Gillette's got one out there and all that. But this is my conception of everything. I totally agree with you what lifting can do to you mentally if you invite it in. Most people get scared of it, I think, and don't. And I've said this before on shows. I've been very fortunate because of my family background, especially with Jimmy. We had to be very close-knit and together all the time, and it was very hard on my mother and father. And I've seen things as a young boy that – a lot of people don't see and experience. And I've had, you know, when we talked offline before, I said I don't understand a lot of stuff I'm reading. With it seems like to me that people are going backwards with what they're thinking when they feel things brought against them that didn't agree with them, or they've had hardships with a spouse or a boyfriend, or et cetera, et cetera. And I've told people to tell me stuff like that. I said, I understand that, but I've been around some stuff, and I've interpreted life a little bit different with Jimmy. I've seen the front side and the back side, and I've seen the middle with him. And, you know, even though you're a kid, you don't maybe understand some of it when you're younger, but I've been involved in things. I understand what heartbreak is and losing someone that young and watching what my mother and father went through because, you know, I don't know today with a lot of the way people are if they'd even be together or if they wouldn't have put my brother in somewhere. They would never have done that. He was matriculated in everything he could because there's nothing wrong with him mentally. But all that I have, but then when you talk about lifting the spiritual end and all that, I'll tell you what. When everything went up in smoke and I had to make a decision, do I want to keep going the path I'm going with my job? Obviously it paid well, but it was going to be like this all the time. It was going to be a lot of travel, living out of a suitcase. Lifting is my first passion. So right there, that kind of put the brakes on everything. But I'll tell you this, if it wasn't for lifting, who knows? I mean, I don't even know if I'd be talking to you right now. I have no idea what would have happened because a job loss alone can be physically breaking to you. And you look at the rate of suicide with people and all that. And I would never even think of anything like that. But I'm saying all the things that are going on, what I did is like what you've done and many other people, I'm sure, is I took the physical and I tried to make the mental side as good or greater. Because you and I both know what you think, believe, conceive, you'll achieve. I mean, that's been out there since the days of all the great writers. You know, think, you know, go out and read Think and Grow Rich or anything like that. You'll understand exactly where I'm getting at. But what you're doing here with Peter, obviously, and anybody that doesn't know Peter Ragnar should go out and check him out, because, you know, I love when you guys will say, well, he doesn't even know how old he is. The man is absolutely amazing. All right? So I'll go back to you, but, I mean, does that make sense to you, what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. There's so much more to be gained and learned in life and into harnessing situations. You know, that's like I tell people this, and people talk about that as a training thing. You know, a lot of young guys especially get into training as a real stress outlet, or as a real, you know what I'm saying? They're working through something that they're going through. And that's a tremendous thing. And I think everybody who's really, especially an aggressive lifter, has done that at some point. And I think the real thing there is to be able to meld that into a more powerful mind that resists those things, and to take those life experiences and use the physicality to work through them. Mm-hmm. And then get to a place where you're running the show of your mind, not your mind is running the show of you.
Yep.
That makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Where
totally.
You're controlling things, and where you're, you know, like I went through that, and I think I've talked about this here a little bit. I know I've talked about it in some places where, you know, as a kid, you come in and you're super aggressive, especially come in powerlifting or some of the real, you know, heavy strength sports. It's all super aggressive, and everybody wants to look like they're a hell's angel and that kind of, you know, what I mean? And I appreciate that, because actually that's kind of something that I've talked about on the DVDs there, and it's something that actually related to another thing I'm going to mention in a second. That's actually like the backward end of Eastern style Qigong. Mm-hmm. That's the hyper hard style, insane mental process that it takes to do some crazy lifts. But what the real problem with some of that is it's an excellent, excellent outlet, especially, you know, when you're starting. But after a while, it becomes a conditioning process instead of an outlet. In other words, after a while, you get to places where the only thing you're working out is this mental aggression. There's such a bigger door to open there. There's such a bigger door to open. There's the conclusion to be found, like what you were talking about with your brother in learning. You know, you go through these tragedies and things are tough. But eventually you come out the other side with a different perspective and a different learning, and that's what I don't want us to get stuck in, is those mental processes of it's always got to be angry and mean looking and that kind of thing. You know what? We should be having more fun.
Yep.
And doing those things and conditioning the hardness of the body to condition the softness of the mind.
Yep.
To condition things that we get used to being happy in the tough situations.
Yep.
And I will not and ever – okay. In daily life – a brutal heavy lift is the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's way harder than sitting in your cubicle or whatever else you have.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not harder than losing a loved one.
Right.
Something like that. I would never even remotely compare it to that. But the ups and downs and little things of life get small when you focus on something super intense.
Yep.
You know, I said this, I actually said this recently. Nothing will focus your mind. Nothing on this world, with the exception of possibly a real honest-to-God warrior and somebody shooting at you.
Yep.
You know, nothing will focus your mind like one of these two things. Putting 800 pounds on your back.
Yep.
Or getting in a ring with another human being. Those two things elicit a level of hyper-concentration that most people will never, ever, ever touch. But they're missing out on opening – that opens a door in your mind – to both control your body and to begin to control how you think, how you react, and condition that on a regular basis. And what I want to do, I want to be the guy who puts 800 pounds on his back with a smile on my face.
Yep.
Instead of a grimace. You know what I'm saying?
I want
to go up with that. That's really kind of why I'm excited about this thing with Peter. And it's a real departure for me. It's very similar to some of Peter's stuff that he's already done, because Peter really has spent his life talking about how to have a better life with people, how to have a calmer, more fun, more – and I. That's actually kind of why I started hanging out with Peter in the first – well, two reasons. Number one, Peter is a guy who, when you meet him, he seems like, you know, a monk. He seems like a Dalai Lama or something. You know what I'm saying? He's like super hyper peaceful and everything's really that way. But he's also the guy who would say, you know, I bless you, my son, but if you broke into my house, I'll shoot you in the face with a .45.
I'm with you. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. What really attracted me as a friend is that he trains hard. He's very pragmatic in his pursuit of upper level ability in the mind and spirit. Does that make sense? It does. In other words, he's not the guy that's going to tell you, I'm going to do a no-touch knockout. And not, you know, he's legitimately a physical person as well as all these other things. I mean, the guy's just absolutely amazing. You're talking about a guy who's well into his 70s, who's squatting 500 pounds.
That's sick, man.
Less than 200 pounds body weight.
Yep.
I mean, and a guy who's had a 10,000-book library in his house that he's actually read. The insanity of that is pretty crazy, man. I mean, just that little dichotomy there alone is you know, nothing else. But so we got this thing coming out, and it's going to be on – like, here's what I've hit in life, and this is what I think, you know, you're headed toward and other people, and really what we all want to do. I just want to be able to do what I want to do. I don't want to have limits in my life.
I'm with you.
But to find that, you got to get all the other gears in your life turning the right way. Not have them pulling back. Like, this is something that in the creation of this process that me and he and I talked about. All right, you know people who are – all right, I know people in weightlifting who talk about this. They're world champions. And talk to them, their life and conversation is dominated by how much they sacrifice to be a world champion.
Yeah.
And I'm not just really talking about, they sacrifice going out and partying. You know, they skipped a couple of nights of drinking to do that. That's not I'm talking about, I know guys who, you know, sacrificed marriages and careers and everything else to put 20 more pounds on their squat.
Yep.
Okay. It doesn't need to be that way. And in fact, I think, you know, hey, listen, anything you want in life, there is choices to be made. You know, if you're going to squat heavier, you probably shouldn't drink a whole fifth of Jack Daniels the night before.
No.
You know, you probably shouldn't. I mean, but at the same time, there isn't the need to sacrifice the whole world for something you can build both efficiently and in the long term. Doing those things that create massive life-ripping sacrifices are actually taking away from your ability to be the top-end best you can be. So how much stronger would that guy have been if he'd calmed down and kept his marriage together and kept his career and not had the stress and the problems and actually gotten everything working in the right direction, gotten his money and finances and his thought process about himself and how his relationships affected with other people. And, you know, all of those things are a big deal, man. All those things make a difference. And if you're – okay, if you expect to be the best you can be and you want to climb a mountain or, you know, want to climb Everest or whatever it is you want to do, but you spend every day hating life in your job, it's going to take away.
Yeah.
Or you spend every moment when you get home fighting with your significant other or whatever – you see what I mean? All those things are things you can fix. There are areas of your life you can get better at. There are areas of your life that are going to get more – that can be better. And that, if you ask me, opens the door to be a truly a limitless person. Not like, okay, I see guys, and I agree with this at times in life, where you do drop everything else and go pursue your dream. Like Randy Strawson talked to me one time about the guys who are really the best at – he was really into climbing, and the guys who are really in the best at climbing – are the guys living in vans that just climb all day, every day.
Yeah.
And they don't, he said, and you ask those guys, his point was you ask those guys, what's your climbing gear? What's your favorite gear? They're like, I don't know. It's my gym shoes that I was in. They're the shoes I've had for 15 years. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ask the guy who's kind of a halfway into it and he'll have 13 different pairs of shoes and everything will have a name brand and all that stuff. And it's the same with lifters. He said, I'd ask lifters, you know, what's your favorite bar? He's like, whatever the squat bar in the rack is at the gym. And what kind of shoes do you have? He said, I've had these Chucks for 12 years. That's about, you
know,
I don't have a, you know, you see what I mean? The important and focused on things that don't make a difference. And when you really do need to be doing the thing that you're doing. But here's what I say. I say you can be the guy who's the top end lifter or the top end, you know, the climber example we were given or the top end at anything. If you use an efficient way to train that doesn't take every minute of your day, and that leaves you time to have a real freaking life, okay? It's awesome when you're young sometimes to go out and, you know, whatever. You want to spend a couple of years just pursuing your own thing and doing that, that's awesome. But at a point in your life, you get where, you know, I should have a real life too. I actually should do other things that, you know, constitute being a human.
Yep.
In the end, you need all that to work together to have the top end best of everything, you know, and that's what we're looking to do.
No, that sounds like a great idea, man. I mean, it's, you know, I always say it's good to be as well rounded as you can, and you know, I'm guilty of that at times too. I mean, you know, I'm very close with the nieces and nephews here, and I try to see them a lot and all, but I've had stuff like that where, well, at times I can separate myself from this. The only problem I have a lot with training and everything is, and I can't deny it, and I don't think anybody can, and that's where you got to find your happy medium. See, this is where I think people go wrong, and maybe I'm wrong about it, but lifting weights, lifting stones, whatever you want to call it, is me. All right. I don't separate the two. There's not a separation between Eric and training. Eric and training are married, so to speak. Like it's DNA, blood, whatever you want to call it. There is no separation with me with that. And that, I understand what you're saying. That can become very, very caustic at times. A lot of aggression, you know, you're taking it out on people that you shouldn't be taking it out on. You're not looking at the whole picture, because if you bring in other avenues, and let's face it, you got to make choices. You know, you hope you pick the right girl that, you know, you're going to maybe marry and be together and have children the rest of your life. You know, you have good kids. Maybe you go pursue your dreams. Maybe you want to go open a health food store, or you want to open a gym, or maybe you just do something crazy and you love electronics, whatever your passion is. But the whole thing is, what we got in play here is you can do everything, just like you're saying. But it takes, I think with a lot of people, it would take maximum effort. And I don't know with a lot of people if they can stretch like that. And I'm not sure if that comes with maturity. I'll tell you in my instance here, we've been almost up for 3 years now. And I've changed a lot. I mean, I'm not self-centered like I was before, and here we go with training and everything else. I've got, obviously, a business here. I want to grow, and become the standard in the industry with both ends. So it takes your perspective and changes you quite a bit. Things that used to bother me, they don't bother me at all anymore. Things that people come and say to me that bothers them, I don't want to sound cold to them, doesn't bother me anymore. And I've got that bad Italian streak where if someone wronged me, you know, I'd wish you 1,000 deaths. Well, you know what? I could care less anymore, because one thing I'll tell everybody out there, if you don't know, if you're running a business or doing something you love to do and you're concentrating on whoever did whatever to you, you're not putting your effort into you or your business or whatever it is, your family, your wife, that will kill you right there. And if there's anything that I've learned out of all this, that would be the main thing I'd tell anyone, bud.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. You need to – and, you know, I do think you're right. It does come with time and maturity. And, you know, nobody – I mean, you know, when you're a young guy, you don't think about those things a lot of times. And that's kind of what we're – one of the reasons I started to put that out is because what I'd like to be able to do is shortcut those things that I went through for a lot of guys.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Able to just say, hey, because I feel like I've been hugely blessed to be able to get a lot done in a lifetime of things, but I could have done more had I had slightly different concentrations on the way I did things. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
This is the path I went through, and that's why I write books and do the other things I do is, you know, hey, I want to – this is why I do these things, because this is the things I've learned, and this is the things that will help you, and I'm giving you the way that would have helped me develop faster.
Yep.
Had I done that way, you know, I went through that period of time where I couldn't think about anything else but training, and even if I wasn't actually training that many hours a week or whatever, I couldn't focus on work or other things because all I could think about was training. And not that you, like I said, you're going to go through times like that, and that's okay. But there's also things you probably should just learn to be able, and you know, you should mentally discipline yourself about, you know.
Yep.
And here's the thing, I almost learned with that. Like I learned this from football as a kid. Okay. You know, I was hyper competitive and played on an extremely competitive team in a very tough league in Florida. And here's what I mean by that. In my junior season, our team beat the 3A, 4A, and 5A state champions in the regular season.
Oof.
And lost
Yep.
playoffs.
Yep.
So
yep.
we weren't, you know, we were playing the big dogs, and not that that's even an issue. You know, high school football is a very overrated thing, but here's what I mean by that. I had all this mental aggression to throw into this thing when I should have been having more fun and concentrating on other things, and allowed the time to be aggressive, to be the most aggressive it could be. And what you're actually doing when you're over mentally aggressing on things and over mentally thinking about that is you're actually wasting energy. Okay.
Yep.
So think about it like this. You're spending time, the 5 seconds before you go to a lift is probably the most hyper aware and hyper psyched thing you would have right at moment of your day.
Yep.
So what you're actually doing is kind of spending your mental energy in 50% of that level all the time on something that's not actually benefiting you. You see what I mean? Now,
you
do have that subconscious concentration on the things, you know, I'm sure you get this, and you know, you're out of nowhere, you get a flash or a mental thing on a training that you, that's an idea. Oh, yeah, I love that.
Absolutely.
And,
yep.
And sometimes it'd be when you're doing something totally, you know, you're walking out to get the paper in the morning or something.
Yep.
Something.
Yep.
And that's how our minds work, period. But we also got to discipline them to be able to step back and say, you know what, I love training. And I'm the same as you, man. I love training. It's my passion. It is not a hobby for me.
Right.
It is
exactly
not a thing where we're just doing, you know, I don't go to lift weights just because I just like to lift weights every now and then. That's not how it works for me.
No.
Okay. And most of the people on the show or come to the, you know, that's not how it works for them either. It's something that they love on a deeper level than most other people will. And that's okay. But we also have to discipline ourselves to even walk away from that for a moment and allow the mind to refresh and the body to get together. And you know what I'm saying? And to, everybody has a passion of some sort in that thing that's not related to the rest of life.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's not related to the rest of life. So I want to transfer that passion in a way that I'm living that level of intensity and passion at every piece of my life, but I'm using it at the appropriate times, and I'm not over wasting energy on a particular thing when I should be laser focusing it at certain times. And I just want to keep everything in perspective so that because I find when I do that, then my progress, which is really what we're after in the first place, right? You know, why exude energy on something that's ridiculous?
Mm-hmm.
When you could get better progress in the beginning. There's a guy, Jesse Duplantis, is a minister out of New Orleans, and he has a bunch of comedy albums. They're hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I tell that story to tell you this, and this is what I mean by expending energy in a bad way. He worked as a kid on an oil rig in the South, in the Gulf, and a supervisor told him to clean the front of the tool shed, which is the offices on an oil rig. And so he didn't know what he meant by doing it, so he just said – the guy said, here, hook this pump up. Well, it's a 4-inch power pump of water. And so he hooks up like a fire hose and just ends up – so the guy cranks it up, and the guy's like, I can't believe you're going to do this. The old guy's watching him. He's like, okay. So he cranks it up, and it's this one little 145-pound kid trying to control a central fire hose of water.
Yep.
And it's throwing him all around, and it's knocking the windows out of the offices because it's busting the windows.
Of course, all the pressure.
He said, what I just did was the extreme example of over-applying power to the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? It's using a fire hose when you should have been using a water hose. Or using a huge amount of power on something that didn't help me to do what I needed to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I want. I think we should all laser focus on really getting the best life in every area, which is what we're doing with that.
Yeah. So, well, I think that's a great thing to do because that will help a ton of people. Because, you know, if you look at people, especially nowadays, fear, worry, lack of confidence, second guessing everything. Even when they feel they've got it down, they won't execute usually because there's always that little voice in your head whispering, you can't do it, or what if you make a mistake and all that. And I think it's, well, we see it all over us around. And if you listen to anything with any type of repetition out there, you're going to really get it. And now most theories I hear from most people with the authoritative positions, if you want to call it that, and people too, just in general on the street, it's always, well, why would you want to do that? Or why would you want to go there? Or why would you want to lift that? Or why would you invest in that, the time in that? And it's like, if you keep going with the what ifs in your life, you're never going to do a thing. And that's the problem. Most people are paralyzed, I believe, mentally. I say that because I talk plenty during the week on the show, but I'm a guy that loves to go out in public, and I'm always striking up conversations with somebody about something. And I enjoy that so much. I love doing that, and I'm always very comfortable with that. And I feel now, and you and I have talked on previous shows, especially with motivation here. My prime thing not only is to have the best people in the industry on here, which I feel we are doing more and more, but not only offer solutions, but I know this sounds cliche, but it's not to me. We need to offer positive expression out there to everyone, because it's not only kids that are suffering, man. There are an awful lot of adults that are just going around in a circle. And they don't know what to do. And you said before, what we do is a hell of a lot better than walking into a cubicle for 8 hours and dealing with that mess. I was out today. I had to go to a local grocery store to pick up a couple things. And this is what I'll tell you, and I'm sure you can relate to this. There are two people working that worked for the place, Hannaford it's called here in Albany. They're based out of Maine. And they're arguing in the aisle, literally. They were putting mops and sponges and stuff, and I mean, they were going at it. I'm like, man. And the girl suddenly just abruptly says, "I'm going to the goddamn manager," like that. And you know what I said to myself when I walked by them? I said, "Thank God." And that isn't what I was into, but it was the same way in an IT field where they were probably being paid three times what those two were being paid, but it was the same business, but only in a different tone, okay? Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, you know what? I might not be exactly where I am right now, but I'm working my ass off to get there, and I will get there, and I'm going to get there as quick as I can, but I'm going to enjoy it, like you were saying, which I haven't really so far. I've been taking a step back now and enjoying the fruits of my labor. But I said to myself, you know what, Bud? I was like, I am so glad I'm not, and we know we all get in arguments and this and that, but it was just, I just drew the picture there of, I've been there, all right? And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I'm the guy that signs my paycheck, no matter what. It's still better than what I'm seeing around me. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you have to move. You should be moving to do what you love one way or the other. Now, okay, motivational people who want to sell you how to do stuff will always tell you that you should drop what you're doing for a living and do what you love and find a way. And they're in one way right and one way wrong. Mm-hmm. I think you should find a way to, truthfully, in this economic environment, we should all be diversified.
Yep.
And we should all have multiple things going on. I mean, that's just a smart way to live, because one thing can fall apart. We've learned that in the last couple of years in the economics of the world that, and the whole world might fall apart there, and you may have to just roll with it.
Yep.
But everybody ain't going to be an author. Everybody ain't going to be right. They're guys who tell you how to write books will tell you that. Drop everything, write a book, sell it, you'll make $1 million, and that's a lie.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
99% of the information products in the world aren't home runs. They just doesn't work like that. Now, you can make a wonderful living that way if you do the right things, if you do the right stuff. And there is something to be said for not having money tied to your passion, because it is a wonderful thing to do. I did it. You're doing it.
Yep.
At the same time, there are moments where you realize that you end up doing the things that you don't love to do connected to your hobby. In other words, there's a million little details of things that are not lifting heavy things that I have to do to run a business about lifting heavy things.
Yep.
That I don't care to do, but they have to be done.
Yep.
At the same time, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what your deal is, you got to step back and relax. And you got to so even if you're in a cubicle that you don't love, you need to be finding a place of whatever job you're doing that you do like.
Yep.
That so what you do as for a living might not necessarily be the most passionate moment of your life, the thing that you do, but you can find a way to enjoy it. And some of it, we just need to get some perspective. I mean, I posted a picture on Facebook of this little girl that was at a show, was at a school that I went to, and did a show.
Yep.
And she had a significant, essentially a wasting disease that just sort of eats the body, and like super hyper fragile. I mean, literally her wrist is about the size of two of my fingers.
Yep.
And it's that kind of thing. You can, and I'm, and she, we got to hang out with her a little bit after the show and got to be able to, she let me, you know, hold her for a picture, pick her up. And
right.
She's,
I saw that. Yep.
Talking like a 14-year-old girl who's like 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm saying with that. We treat every moment of life, most of us, most of the time, with a seriousness, with a lack of perspective, as if we're in the moment that that little girl lives in.
Yeah.
And we're not. We're arguing with people like you're talking about at the Kroger.
Yep.
At the
yeah, at the supermarket over a mop.
Over a mop.
Yeah, think about that. And, a mop.
And really, we're, and I'm guilty of this in training. Okay, my wife used, you know, and the reason I talk about these things is because I don't want you to experience, or I want you to be able to learn to get through the experiences that I had. My wife could watch my face years ago.
Yep.
If I had a bad workout or didn't hit the specific PR that I wanted to hit, you could tell I was mad when I walked in the door. And I'd be mad.
That sounds familiar.
For a few days.
Yeah.
And it
yep.
was silly. And I, okay. Yep. You, and there's what I mean about balance and right pressure in the right area, okay? You need that level of focus when you're in the workout. You need that level of desire that you want to do, that you apply things more. Okay, most people will never get. Why do, they ask me this all the time. Why do you work out so hard? Why do you lift all these things? Listen, if I have to explain it to you, you probably won't have the same passion for the thing that I have, because it's the thing that I love to do. And because it's the thing that I love to do, I apply more passion to it than you do in just about anything in your life. Okay.
Exactly.
And most, just that's how we are about things. That's the difference in what separates people who become great at something and people who just hang out. That's really the difference. How much passion, how much love you have for a thing, how much desire you have for a thing. However, it can eat your lunch.
Yeah.
It can,
without a doubt.
Nuts. It can make you crazy. It makes you get divorced or whatever, you know, from the crazy things. And here's the thing. When you're in the middle of that workout, first of all, we should be stepping back and having fun. But when you're in the middle of that set, yeah, you got to apply that whole thing. You got to learn to turn it on, turn it off, and learn to back off with it. When and learn that there's perspective, man. What, you know, I saw a guy on Facebook post about this, and he was making fun of, and he had a real point. Okay, he's making fun about. He said, when I go to lift weights, I go to battle, and on some level you do. Okay, on some level you are battling personal demons. But he said, but he said. But the end of his post, which was funny, he said, on the other hand, you know, it is just lifting weights, fellas. You can't, you know.
Yeah.
And you need to have the ability to step back and realize that there is perspective in life. And every time you argue over a mop, you're wasting energy. You know?
Without a doubt. I mean,
you're wasting that could be better served on your life. That could be better applied to your mind, to making it better, or just to having a better, more fun life.
Well, hey, Bud, you know what it is with weights? Like I was telling you, I was telling Bud offline, I hadn't done dead stop back squats in 3 weeks, and I went out and just matted 507, and I'm sure you'll say, well, that's not a lot of weight. Well, I hate to break it to you, 507 up on your traps is still a lot of weight. I hadn't done it in quite, you know, 3 weeks, so I was like, let's see what I can do. But you know what it is with stuff like that? This is how I want to encompass kind of like training, and we'll see what you think. Training to me is like the best friend, man. It's like your brother. It's like even though I can't carry that rack out on my back and have it next to me talking to you right now, it still feels like it's with me. Like it almost feels like it's like a twin, like it's glued to me. And that's how I look at a lot of this stuff now. Same way with stones, man. You know, I was when I had Bill Hinburn on yesterday, you know, I said people would laugh at me, and I'm sure you've had this stuff happen. I mean, I've never filmed it, and if they had it filmed, I'd still put it up. You know how many times I got knocked on my ass picking a stone up?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know how many times – go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I know. I 100% understand.
Yeah.
I actually do post failures on a regular basis, but like people don't, most people don't post them, and they don't realize that, dude, for every great shot or every great mix you got, there's probably 10 failures behind it. There's probably, you know.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, how many times can I tell you I've pinched my, you know, it's everybody does it too, but I, you know, when I do it, I still am amazed I do it. You know, sometimes you'd be like kind of like out of your mind. You know, I'm alone. I'm trying to load, you know, the squat bar, whatever bar by myself, and you don't want one side to come up. So you're going back and forth, back and forth. especially in the squat, like I'll be so aggressive and I'll be taking those either 45 or 100 pound plates. And that little part right underneath your thumb, you'll go and push it quick and you'll pinch that between two plates. I mean, just stuff, you know, stuff like that. And I'm screaming my ass off, man. I'm like, God, you know, it's like, and you're doing all that. But you know something? For all the stuff we're talking about here today and having a well-rounded life, it's like I could never, ever, unless the good Lord took it from me or I just got so old I couldn't do it. It's like I don't know how – you know, I say friend or brother or family or DNA or whatever. It's just something I could never turn my back on, and people don't understand that. They're like they're inanimate objects. I said, no, they're not. They're all alive. All that metal, all that stone is alive. You got to realize that right away. And they're like, how do you mean alive? I said, anything that's got vibration is alive. And I believe they all have vibration, especially stones. And I'm like, this is what jettisons me out to do the things I want to do. You know, we want to go away here this year and there this year and all this. And just keep climbing and climbing. But when you go in that into that weight room, because like Bud and I were talking, you know, he trains pretty much alone like myself. I think when you do the stuff we do, and he goes even a lot more extension than I do, you kind of develop, you know, when we talk about spirit and thinking and getting together with things, there's nothing that has ever touched my soul like that stuff out there. Now, I'm not saying people don't either, and I'm guilty. Bud's talking about me. I've lost multiple relationships because of lifting. And I'll tell you that right up front. Good, bad, indifferent. What could it be now? I don't know. I don't live backwards. So there's some things I wish maybe didn't happen, but they did. For whatever reason, it just dissolved. All right. This is life. As we talked about, you mature a little bit more. The last 3 years with the business has matured me in many different ways. I don't look at Anthony's name, but getting back to the gym. There's just something about it, man. You know, I walked in there last night. I knew I had to get in and out of there within 50 minutes because we got a big thing coming up with stones on Sunday. A lot of walking, a lot of rack stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So I knew I had to go out and do something relatively heavy and get out. I did it. I accomplished both things. Feel good today. Probably going to be a little sore tomorrow, but nothing bad. We'll live and we'll go. But my point of the matter with all this stuff we're talking about today is I don't separate one from the other. Can I live a well-rounded life now more than ever? Absolutely. But lifting for me will always be the nucleus of my life besides my family and my loved ones, whoever it is. But lifting will always have that space in my heart because I know no matter what happens, lifting has always been like that friend there that you can always rely on. You know, I can always go in there and load a bar. I can go in there. Bud probably does it. We'll find out in a second. I go there and carry conversations on literally back and forth about lifting. You would think there's two or three people in there. People would say you're insane. No, I'm creative and I'm thinking. I'm just speaking out loud. And, you know, we used to talk about this a lot, and I've heard other motivational speakers and stuff, you know, have your board of people. Maybe you have Paul Anderson you talk to before you go to bed and you throw a question out there into the universe. And a lot of times the answer will come back is I keep a recorder right now on my nightstand. And if I don't have it on, I'm over trying to write at 3 o'clock in the morning the answer I got. And when I get up the next morning, it's like, what the hell did you even write here? The point of the matter is lifting will always be my nucleus no matter what. No matter what, because I know my buddy used to always tell me, my buddy Richie, he used to always tell me the iron never lies. I don't know how a lot of people interpret that, but I understand totally what he said. So I'll turn it back to you, sir.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I agree with having, well, I agree and disagree. And let me tell you why. And I don't disagree with it. What I agree with is don't so wrap up an identity in something that can leave. Now, iron isn't going to leave you, but you know, at some point in our life, we may have to change direction.
Leave it.
Things a little different.
Yep.
And here's what I mean: it's you are still going to be you, no matter what happens with that. So we have to get identified with our inside self more than the things we do with our body.
Yep.
But I do agree with this: training of some sort is a constant.
Yeah.
Whether, and not everybody's iron, you know, some people do different things or, you know, whatever, but that type of training, I think that just that total connectedness of something that's constantly there is a real blessing in life and can be a real builder. And it's just all in how you twist the whole thing up to create more than it is, to make that constantness, that life building affirmation of the whole thing, a regular mental and spiritual practice that when you do the physical practice. I think that's a huge thing. I think, you know, and I also think we probably ought to talk about some actual heavy lifting more than people are. We've done.
We got a little bit of time. But this is really good. I mean, this is a topic that I love to explore, and this is going to be great. What we're going to talk about today, obviously, we're going to talk about isometrics, and Bud's doing stuff about that right now. And you everybody knows, if you've listened to either one of us or seen anything video-wise, you know how much we love dead stop squats, obviously. Bud's done 1,000 pounds with it. We've got maybe about 15 minutes, and, you know, we're going to come back anyway, so we can get back into a part two of it or whatever. Dead stop squats. I mean, is there anything really any better than that, seriously, in a power rack just crushing stuff?
As a style of squats to be performed, no, there's not for me. As a style of – and it's because I believe – you know, people ask me all the time. People usually ask questions that they don't have a depth to understand what they're really asking, or they don't have a – you know, like I posted a video of a isometric squat that I did the other day. I posted a couple recently because it's what I'm really kind of focusing on. And a guy asked me, why don't you just do regular squats? Well – there are more things dreamed of than, you know, you've heard of in your life there, sport. There are more ways to do things, and I've explored a lot of ways to do it and find my favorite ways. And one of those is that because I believe it legitimately has the most potential as a physical builder all around.
Yep.
Okay, I believe it, you know, everything you do in life, most everything starts with some kind of a dead stop movement. Very little that you do in actual lifting carries a lot of momentum behind it past the first impetus, okay? In other words, jumping for a basketball is something like that, or, you know, but maybe once you start running and jump, yes, there's that initial you're already carrying momentum, but to start to run, to start to sprint, to start any movement, to pick something up off the ground – all comes from a zero rebound, simply create the explosion yourself place. And I think that's, you know, one of the great metaphors for that. Plus, you can train that lift so hard with so much safety, with so much confidence, with so much ability to be applied cross-sectionally out of the other stuff that you do. I mean, everything I did in lifting got better once I started doing those.
Absolutely.
I got really strong at lifting stones. I got really strong at doing other kinds of lifts, at things that, like, almost didn't make sense.
Yep.
But I got really strong at doing them after that. Now, does that mean I don't ever do any other types of squats? No, that means I do other things too. Okay? You don't have to just live only one way.
Right.
You know, but that's one of my primary things, and even though I may cycle them on and off because I've done, you know, long-term experimentations, and I'm moving to other experiments now, because that's what it's about for me. It's finding the thing that interests me at the moment that I can explore and to find out what there is to give to me from this.
Well, you know, I think too. I just think the especially for a young lifter, there's nothing like the rack.
Right.
I just think that if you could stick them, you know. You know, from squatting, Paul, and, you know, you're a big fan like I am, Paul Anderson. I mean, what did he start with right away? He learned how to squat, man. And he did that for a few years, I believe, if I'm correct with that. I mean, you know, started out, you know, at home, obviously, and then he hooked up with Bob Peoples. And, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But, you know, and people say, well, you can't pull. I said, yeah, you can pull at any friggin' height you want in a rack if you want a deadlift or row. Or press overhead dead stop. I mean, I've done so many different versions of that stuff. It's incredible stuff. And it's like, that's what I'm going to do with Alex. Alex just turned 15 the other day. Since he's been here 6 months, he went from 143 to 160. He's a 6'1" kid, so you know he's a little more muscular and a little filled out. But this kid could buy on another 25, and he still wouldn't have an ounce of body fat on him like that. He's got two more weeks of basketball, and guess what he's going to be learning? He's going to learn how to dead stop squat right out of the hole, man. And this kid isn't going to know what hit him. And, you know, I think, I mean, I've had him doing a lot of the conventional, obviously, strongman stuff, big sandbag stuff. He's walking with the smaller Hoosa Steel Stone. You know, all those things, a lot of grip work, a lot of neck work, all the things fundamentally that are going to have him ready. And when he goes in the rack, he's gonna get a life lesson there. Because at first, I'm sure it's gonna be like any time you go to start, you're gonna come off maybe on one side more, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that rack has been, besides Stones, I've said this on every show, I've written about it. That's like the 1-2 punch for me. I feel that I've gotten more off those two things than anything I've ever done lifting. Now, a lot of people would probably disagree with me. All right, but I'm just coming from where I'm coming from. You know, I love doing, you know, picking up and doing just off any height. I love doing height shrugs out of the rack. You know, now let's get into two. I mean, we got a little bit of time. Right now you're doing stuff. You're going to do video, obviously, or MP4 of isometrics. You're in what's your feel? I mean, isometrics, in my opinion, is just like the top gun. But what are your feelings about isometrics, Bud?
Well, I think it's so incredibly effective and useful and so incredibly unexplored by most people, by most people in training. I actually, again, got commentary on the video I posted the other day, and a guy just said, hey, you know, I think most people really don't get it. Yeah, they just don't understand what's actually going on here. And it is a little bit hard to watch or get because it's not moving.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's not, but I'm telling you, there's a whole nother situation there to explore. Now, most scientists break up isometrics in like two to maybe three ways. And if you're looking for a general observation, you know, or a general way to list them, yeah. But like I actually went through and when I did a teaching on this, I did a couple of seminars where I taught about 6 hours total on isometrics. I break them up like 12 or 13 different ways. I mean, because there's a lot of different ways to do it. There's so much to play with isometrics. There's so much to do. What I'm doing recently is more in the functional isometrics. Okay, so if anybody doesn't really actually understand the term isometric, what it really means is a resistance that does not move. Okay, so like the old thing, they kind of gave them, you know, in the 60s, you had people like pushing against doorways and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And there are times when that can be useful, but there are so many ways where it's really more to it. And mm-hmm. So the stuff I'm doing right now and the stuff that's going to be on our new video is functional isometrics, okay, which is used in a power rack or use something like a power rack.
Yep.
And so what you're essentially doing is lifting one weight and then you're pushing that weight into something that makes it immovable.
Right.
Okay. So now people don't even know this because most power racks today don't come with a double set of pins.
Correct. Okay?
And the ones that do, people don't understand why it has a second set of pins. What's that for? Or it's just an extra safety catch. It's actually not. Double pins on a power rack are built to do functional isometrics, which means you lift the weight off one pin and then the second pin is positioned above that somewhere. And you push the weight into that second pin.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I've been exploring it with doing all kind of other different ways to do it and not just confining it with simple basic weights. For instance, one of the things I've been doing recently is doing presses, overhead presses with a stone and doing an isometric with that. So what I essentially do is get the stone, lift it, put it up to where I'm about to press, and then step into the arch of my power rack and push it up. And the stone is at the right height so that the stone actually hits the top of the rack, and I can press it until I'm there and push into that until I'm fatigued and then drop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I obviously have an outside setup to be able to do that, and I've explored doing it in a lot of different directions by using – here's the thing. When you use a resistance, when you do the functional type of isometric instead of just the normal one, you really have a very defined level that you're pushing at, okay? Mm-hmm. Versus sometimes when you're pushing against something that you don't have a resistance, it's hard to tell if you're actually exerting 100% resistance, whereas or exerting 100% force, whereas when you're pushing a barbell into the second set of pins, it's going to when you cannot push anymore, when it comes down, you know that you've exerted every bit of moment that you have.
Yep.
And there is so much to do here and so much to explore. So what I've actually – the whole DVD is actually what I'm calling isometric supersets. So essentially it's doing an isometric and then immediately dropping that and going to a an actual lifting movement.
Right.
Lifting movement. And let me tell you something. The pump from this is psychotic.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why, okay? There's actually a little bit of science behind it. So when you do a hard isometric, you essentially create a occlusion of the blood there, okay? In other words, muscles are contracted as hard as they can go. You might get a little lactic burn while you're doing it, but your blood is not flowing as freely as it could because there's no relaxation, okay?
Yep.
So as soon as you drop that, though, you get a super compensation. That's why as soon as you drop an isometric, all of a sudden you feel it rushing, you know, okay?
Yep.
So if you do that and then force a moving exercise immediately after – where you actually do a normal movement exercise working the same area, number one, you get a massive conditioning effect because you're already smoked from the isometric. And something people don't talk about from isometrics is that they're incredibly dense from a time perspective. Okay? So a hard 30-second hold of a heavy isometric is like doing a lot of reps in a regular movement. Because think about it like this. When you do a move, if you do a press, okay, that press probably won't take more than about 1 second, maybe two if it's a max or a hard one. But if you're doing reps, it's not going to take more than about a second or so, two at the most, for that to go from your shoulders to all the way overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in that, you're only actually pressing in parts of the movement, and parts of it are being carried over by momentum that you created.
Sure.
A high, okay, well, there's no momentum in the isometric, okay?
No, so there's not. Nope.
Here's what's happening. You've got 30 seconds of sustained effort. It's like doing a 30 to 50 rep set in 30 seconds, okay?
Yep.
Especially when you do it heavy and hard. So from a density perspective of actual muscular work, it's huge. It also will help you, and that's something that really is helpful there. It helps you find gaps in where you're strong because you'll notice that when you press or squat or whatever – it's like going from different positions in a dead stop in the rack. You'll notice that you're strong, and all of a sudden in a place where you think you should be strong, you're weak.
Drop.
You don't get the power because you don't have the coordination right there, or you have a changeover in muscles that are actually firing or for whatever reason. Your leverage is different for whatever reason. So you find where you're weak, you can make it strong. You got this incredible density of what's going on, and that occlusion, so that blood's not flowing, and all of a sudden you throw that other one in there where the blood has to flow from the supercompensation of the muscles letting up, as well as then the movement. Man, you're like, I mean, you know, all of a sudden, you know, dude, you've got Franco's lats all of a sudden just bang, exploding out, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something cool I do. Bill Crawford really got me onto this with doing like the stone rows, but doing them, you know, with your fingers. But when you're saying isometrics, you'll like this. I've got a stone garage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pick up – I'm not saying I'm picking up a huge stone. It might only be a 100-pound stone. But what I want to do is be able to take it and hold as much of it with my fingers. I'll take that thing and push that against the garage wall, man.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's like whole – and, you know, I'm backed off enough away because if that thing drops, it's not going to break my feet.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, simple things like that, and then like Bud saying, go in and nail a pair of isometrics with the barbell. Simple things like that that you would never think what they're doing. And this is something – there's two things I want to touch upon because we've gone so hard with the mental thing and being well-rounded. You want to know the prescription for being mental? Go do that with a rock and then go in the rack and hold that sucker until you drop it, literally. If you can't get mentally tough and have the tenacity of a pit bull, I got news for you, man. Nothing's – I don't care what somebody puts you through. It's never going to match that stuff. That's another. That is a big, big thing that you're learning here today. It is incredible to be able to do things like that. And here's another thing, and this is something I want to touch upon with you, Bud, before we go, is you know, like when you're saying, say you do an isometric hold rod to rod like that, and you're saying, you know, and it's true. It's like, say you do one hold. Let's just say you can hold it literally for 10 seconds, all right? Mm-hmm. And I mean not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, I'm talking 10 real seconds or longer before you drop it. If we equate that to reps, and just let's say that equals 30 reps, be very careful how much you're doing of this stuff because it's so concentrated. Mm-hmm. You know, you think it's nothing. You could get very burned out very quickly if right. you do multiple things of that until your conditions, correct? Or, I mean, would you go?
Absolutely. It's extremely, yeah. extremely concentrated. Well, and there's another thing you really need to think about. Now, I do think you can condition to – I'm doing quite a bit of it in training more.
Oh, I agree.
And I'm doing some – but now I'm doing also different levels of holds where it's not always maximal. And exactly. it's always – sometimes even longer holds where it kind of stresses a different energy system or stresses different, you know, muscles in different angles. So there's a lot – you can actually do a lot of training once you're conditioned to it, but you probably shouldn't do a ton of one hold over and over again because you are doing – a really, especially if you do hard, heavy, maximal ones, you know what I'm saying? You're doing, and you're not going to want to, cause you're going to fall apart. You know, if you're doing something that you're doing an absolute max hold, a 10 second hold, the fatigue will be hard enough. You won't get a second set at 10 seconds. You won't get a, you know what I'm saying? You just won't get that.
Oh yeah.
You'll, I'll tell you what I've experimented with, and the original prescription was always, you know, 6 seconds or that kind of thing was the whole.
Exactly.
And it was all, it's usually a buildup of start with something you can do 3 to 6 seconds and try to build up to 10 to 12 seconds or whatever. And for maximum work, that does work good. But for speed, I think it's better to do a sub-max hold and do it for short holds and really concentrate on truly maxing the power and then be fresh between.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll tell you what I'm finding for muscular development is longer holds.
Yep.
Is I got a buddy experimenting with it now, and he's going to let me know some results. But I'm getting the same thing with like 30-second holds.
Oh, yeah.
The moderate to heavy or as heavy as you can handle in a particular position weight. The muscular development and even longer holds than that, 60-second hold. I'll tell you what is – like I'm kind of calling this like almost like a secret weapon of like whole body holding.
If you
set up and do a overhead hold in your rack, okay, so that you're just below lockout at the top end of a press where you have to press the barbell and press your whole body – legs and everything included, you're kind of half squatting and half pressing the weight to get it to the top, but you're just short of lockout so that you can't fully lock the body. You have to hold into the second pin or the top of the rack or whatever you got to do.
Yep.
You know what? Set up and try to hold something like that for a solid minute.
Absolutely.
You will find everything from your fingers to your toes will be worked in a way that you can't even fathom. I mean, it's a weird way of, you'll literally be able to feel the stress grow from your hands all the way down to by the end. If you're doing it right, you'll be feeling it in your toes.
Yep. Like I told you when we spoke the other day, I've been doing a lot of stuff with 3 and 2 inch bars too, again, doing holds, various things. And obviously, like I said, I've been doing a lot of that mainly to let the grip be the dictator with me here and decide because, you know, we got just into this, you go too much with too many things and labor through them with too many days, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be counterproductive. You're going to get charred, or you could potentially get an injury. This stuff is a lot of fun to do, and it is. There's nothing that's going to build ligament, tendon, and muscle bellies like that. I don't care what anybody – the only thing that I would say that, you know, I'm not saying it's the same thing, it's an athletic build, the whole build. You know, I love Olympic lifting, but am I going to do Olympic lifting in a power rack? Absolutely not. But I think power rack training, the isometrics, I think it's so solid and so safe. You know, I'm sure Bud, other than if he wants to do some endurance or he wants to get the real good, you know, the body, so to speak, you know, maybe you're going to do longer holds and that, but I just stay with singles because I still believe they're the safest thing out there, especially what I like to load up. And we all know when you go in a meet, what is it? It's a one rep max. I mean, you're not doing, you know, 135, 225, 315, you know, 405, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you got to be able to go in and pretty much be close to your maximum when you start. You want something that's going to do that? This is it, man. I mean, there's nothing that's going to build you and increase the amount of weight you can open up with. And that was always one of the big things I liked about this, because the body was so prepared and so built in the way you wanted to do it. You know, there was no more of this BS, you know, three or four sets to go start going after bigger weights, because to me, that's a waste of time. I mean, I don't need to be doing that. I'm already warm, ready to go. What do you think?
Well, I think that's definitely an issue there. I mean, definitely something you want to work on. I think that, you know, I actually talked to a good buddy about this recently, about training the body by enough movement on a regular basis so that you're kind of permanently warm.
Yeah.
That you don't want to, you know, okay, so I'm a full believer in warm up and the things that you need to do to be smart about that. But at the same time, life don't always give you the ability to warm up.
Yeah.
And you should be moving enough on a regular basis so that you're not going to just literally fall apart if you have to all of a sudden do something with a high strain. Somebody attacks you with a, you know, okay, say you're having that mop argument we talked about earlier, and somebody with a mop, you know, you don't have time to say, wait a minute, I got to stretch first, I got to warm up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that, is that likely to happen? Not really, but the point it stands. The point is reality with that. The point really does make a difference, and we should be moving that much. If you want to have a real long, pain-free, healthy life, you should be doing movement and lifting and doing it together on a regular basis enough that you're warm every day, one way or the other, so that you're kind of in a constant state of the body is functioning. That's how we're meant to live. I'll tell you, before we go, I'll tell you three quick things about isometrics that I think we'll talk about another time.
Yeah.
Number one, you mentioned, you know, they actually did train Olympic lifts on ice. That was the big thing York did, was they actually train the Olympic lifts with isometrics.
They were back in the 60s, though, it had to be right on Hoffman, correct?
That was their they attributed a lot of their success to that. Now, number two, or number actually on the isometrics here, I found that once I really started doing the isometrics, both straight lifting as well as some unusual pattern ones that I do, I was suddenly able to pull off a lot of weird body weight moves or a lot of unusual coordinated moves that I wasn't able to do before.
Okay.
So I think you're building a strength and a level of intermuscular coordination that's hard to fathom until you test it in other ways. Number two, this is weird. When I do a crazy heavy or a longer isometric work, always a guy who's been struggled with body fat. I was, you know, 400 pounds. Now, I was a monster 400-pound lifter, but it was, you know, since I was a little kid and had car accidents, I struggled with body fat. Every time I do an isometric work like that, I wake up visibly leaner the next day. I don't know. There's just something about it. There's something about it that does it. I think it's the density of the holds for longer periods of time.
Without a doubt.
I think a fat oxidization thing there that I don't know the science necessarily behind, but I really think that truly does happen. Number three, connecting your mind to what you're doing. You talked about the mental toughness. But connecting the whole of your energy, yourself, especially in the longer holds, it becomes an iron meditation, not just an iron lift. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, that you can connect
totally
the things you really want to concentrate on in, like, for a pure meditation, and really ramp it up to the 10th degree by applying that hold while you're thinking about things. So you got the perfect opportunity to condition your mind to be happy or to be focused or to be whatever it is while you're actually doing something that's incredibly physically tough.
No, I agree. And I'll tell you another thing. When you touch upon something like that, like last night, I mean, like, I'll tell you right now, I would like to, after the show, if I didn't have another one, I'd get my gear on probably and go out and train. And potentially I might go out and do it, because I'd like to just go out and even do something light in a rack. But here's what I'll tell everybody. Because I keep weird hours with the business. You know, you can work. I get up at 5 every morning, blog, do whatever I'm going to do, email, stuff like that. I might work for a few hours, go down, eat breakfast, do some more work, go out and run errands if I have to, or anything around my home I got to do, obviously, whether it's a training day or not. But, like, when you come in and train from something like that and you have mentally really touched on yourself hard, see this, because I've come in here and worked after I shower, have something to eat, some protein, whatever I'm going to do, I'll come up in my office because I still feel so creative and so alert. And you get that – how do you describe it? You get that life feeling in you, man. It's like everything in my head and my body – is so positive and it just feels so damn good to be alive. I'll come up here, maybe I'll put a podcast up at midnight, or I'm doing blogging in the morning, and then, you know, when I'm ready, I'm starting to feel a little tired, shut everything down, go to bed, sleep good the whole night, get up and do it the next morning. So the benefits, if you really want to touch upon your mind and really do some things or some deep thought, that's my experiences with it. Like last night, I didn't wind down until almost midnight, and I was in at 9:05 last night. Mm. So I do believe there's more benefits than, you know, we're talking benefits of everything today. Power rack training to me is just, like I said, that and stones, man. You tell me you got to go to the island the rest of your life, what do you want? Give me my buffalo bar, thousands of pounds of plates, and give me my stones. I don't care. Just give me my three steel stones now. I won't bother you again. You know,
yeah.
I promise I won't even light the fire on the island so you come find me. You know what I mean? That's it. But if you got anything you want to add, if not, why don't you give out the website, anything you want to do. Let me give mine out. And if you'd hang on a moment, please, I'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. You know what? Look forward to the brand new stuff. We're going to be talking all about it. We got brand new stuff coming out. I'll tell you something else you got to be looking for. I want everybody to hammer this and share this as soon as I get it done. This has turned into an actual monster project, but we have an article coming out with the 100 strongest, baddest, most ageless fitness coaches in the world that's about to come out. Okay? So I wanted to just share that like crazy when they get it, because it's going to pump a lot of the people that have been on the show. It's going to pump a lot of the people that have – but here's the thing. Last year there was a million articles with the best coaches in the world, and most of them were people that can't lift a paper bag.
Yeah. And we did a show. We never finished the second half, so we might have to this time, huh?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. So you don't have to be – you know, you don't have to do my brand of fitness. But my brand does have a strength representation, and that's a major part of fitness, and we've been underrepresented. So this I'm going to drop out and actually represent these people and you know, kind of help that community, at least I hope, a little bit. And there's some amazing people on this list, man. There's some people that are super famous and some you haven't heard of probably.
Yep. Well, if we can do anything, obviously, on the show to help promote it, you let me know.
Absolutely. And then we got, you know, the Isometrics DVD. We got the Fitness University DVDs, and we also got the DVD with Peter Ragnar, Limitless Living, coming out. All that stuff will be out very, very soon. And you can check us all out on Facebook and Instagram or whatever, all the social media stuff. Also, my website, which is www.anunconventionallife.com.
Awesome. You all set?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Okay, this is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, and he will be on with us tomorrow. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Hearts Collision here for New York State residents, 518-477-7937. Don't forget, planayearworkouts.com. You can get it through that website, or you can go to Amazon Prime and get it for $5. Also, Steven Santangelo, Athlete's Choice. Don't forget, Primal Creations at AOL.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. GrasslandBeef.com, that's our good friend John Wood. Don't forget the health benefits of CLA and omega-3s from his free-range meat. John is a great guy. We love him, man, and we can't wait to get him back on, too. And don't forget, John also carries grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and many other wellness products. So check that out. Also, StrongerGrip.com. Don't forget about, you know, Ryan makes the stuff, man. He's got strength gear for the NFL he's made. College teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling. You've seen his trophies on ESPN. He's done grip gear for Men's Health magazine and custom hammers for Mick Dodge and everybody like us, from the gym to the garage to the cellar to the outside like we do, the whole deal. So go out to StrongerGrip.com. And don't forget, too, we'll keep announcing this February 1st. If you want to win a sledgehammer like the one he built for FBC, which is outstanding, it's 25 pounds empty, when you load it up and through the handle, you can just load it if you want. I believe he said that holds 15 pounds, but the whole unit together with the big head is 83 pounds a shot. It is by far the smoothest hammer I've ever used in my life. But we're going to run a contest where you can win that same hammer starting February 1st through St. Patrick's Day on March 17th. Send us your video of what, you know, Bud and I were talking about everything here today. If you're in the power rack, do it. Stones, I don't care. Kettlebell, whatever's out there, send it. When you upload it to YouTube, make sure on the subject line you put FBC and stronger grip and then dash whatever the lift is. And obviously, if you want to go down below and explain it more, we would welcome that. Obviously, you can win that. That's big. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that's about a $350 hammer. So he'll emboss whatever you want into the head. Like if you've seen mine, it says FBC. Look at any of the ones he does out there. They're beautiful. And the big thing, too, is I don't care if you're from the show or not, you'll be invited to come on to Motivation and Muscle. So if you've ever wanted to be on a podcast and one that is going up, you know, who knows? Maybe you'd be a regular on here if you're not now. So go out and do that. You know, you got February 1st starts it. We're going to pick the winner. And like I said, you'll be notified. A hammer will be built for you. And you'll come on Motivation Muscle. So let's get involved and come on and join up with us. And FiorelloBarbellCo.com, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Same thing with strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Go out and check them out. You know, things will change. I'm telling you right now. And everything I got out, I've done. There's no BS. It's totally authentic, and I stand behind everything. If you need help, I'm more than willing to help you, believe me. And also, too, big is sponsorship. Right now it's $100 right till the end of the month. You've only got a few days, but I'll honor it. I don't care if it's 5 or 12 on the last day of the month. We do 5 to 15 shows a week. We're getting bigger and bigger. We're getting international now. We're going to be meeting some people this next Friday where we're going to really try to expand our reach with this show even more to keep getting a bigger group of people and audience. And remember this, you know, you're helping muscular dystrophy. Right now, the $30 that we donate to them goes to flu shots for the children. And my brother, both of these sites are in his memory. We dedicate everything to Jimmy. And remember this, we're going to be around for a long time. And, you know, 25 years, I would like to be working with a lot of different people, and we'll help one another out. Obviously, and you know, like I say, we're going to be millions on top of millions strong. So join my family. I promise you, this is going to be the best 25 years of your life. I guarantee it, because I won't let this nothing. This is authenticity. This is the real deal here. You just heard Bud. I mean, everybody on this show is that caliber. That I won't have anybody else. We stand behind everything we sell and talk about. So come on and join the family. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. You can get a hold of how about a nice review, 5-star on iTunes or Stitcher. That's what we get, and I thank everybody for that. If there's a show you'd like Bud and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these few things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give somebody some words of encouragement. Words are what matter, man, and we know what words can do when they're not said correctly. Words hurt more than a fist right to the face, man, and it's something that, you know, a good insult, as they say, can last you a lifetime. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And if you're going to go out and lift today, go out and just bend that iron, get in that power rack, take those stones and turn them into dust. But go out and enjoy yourself. Appreciate what you have. I'm telling you right now, appreciate your health. It's very, very important. And as the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says on both sides, domination and blood red. We are domination. We don't follow the path. We clear cut it. Millions strong. Come join the family, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. It's only going to get better. And as I always say, no one's going to ever clip our balls. As Russell Fur said, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Bud Jeffries, thank you again, sir. Welcome back.
Yes, sir.
So for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody for listening. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road, and we'll be talking to you soon. Have a great week, and tell a friend. Have a good week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.